Mama, welcome back to another One Income Family episode. Have you ever felt so exhausted and so burnt out that you couldn't think straight? You know, that time when your kids, you know, they do the littlest of things and you just blow up. Well, this is what we're going to be talking about today. As a mom, it can be too easy to push our needs to the side, saying that they're not important, and we continue to care for our family, for our house, for our job. We continue to pour out, but never to fill ourselves back up. I need you to understand that your fundamental needs should be one of your first focuses in order for you to steward and care for the things that God has placed in your care. I mean, why else would they on an airplane tell you to put your mask on and then your child's mask? I mean, you can't help them if you're conked out, right? So it's the same in everyday life. I need you to give yourself grace because you are not perfect and times like this will happen. There are many examples all throughout the Bible, but one in particular that I want to share with you. It's the story of Elijah the prophet and the time that he was so exhausted in every facet of his life that he prayed to God that he would take his life. The prophet, one of the biggest people in the Bible, prayed for God to take his life because he was so exhausted and burnt out. So, I mean, obviously, it's okay for us to feel that way. And we just need to know how to go about it to break that feeling. And that is exactly what this episode is about. So, Mama, grab a pen and paper, sit down and listen, because this episode is going to really help you get through these times of burnout. And then it's also going to set you up so that you can go about budgeting and managing your money without struggle. So, go grab that pen and paper and let's dive in. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. Do you think that the only way to make it as a one-income family is by starting a side hustle or bringing in some sort of supplemental income? The world would 100% agree with you saying that it is impossible to live on one income. That is, unless you're rich, right? I remember thinking I would never be able to become a stay-at-home mama. We had way too much debt and my husband's job couldn't cover it all. Or so I thought. We've also gone through a few, more than I'd like to admit, job changes that again gave me concern as to if I would have to go back to work or not. But again, I was wrong. In each of those situations, God was with us, teaching me and guiding me along the way, helping me tweak the budget to reach all of our needs and a few of our wants, helping me to learn to embrace a more simple and frugal lifestyle that allows us to live abundantly on less, bringing not just me, but the entire family joy and peace, regardless of the amount of money in our bank account. And I know that if it's possible for me, it is 100% possible for you. Don't believe me? Go grab a free 30-minute clarity call and let me show you how this can be possible for you and your family. Alrighty. So today's episode is going to be The story that I'm going to share with you is the story of Elijah, and where he was so exhausted that he wanted to take his life because he didn't know what else to do. I mean, at the time, he was running from the queen who wanted to kill him, wanted to take his life. And so he was like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm doing everything that you've asked me to do, and yet I am still coming up short. I don't know what to do. So I guess just take my life. And it's really sad to think that, but it is such a good story. It's such a good explanation of how we should be caring for ourselves. And so instead of just paraphrasing and telling you the story, I want to actually read it to you. It is a little bit long, but it is so important that I say the actual words because it'll bring so much more meaning to this. So here in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that of one of them,'" which he had just, you know, killed their prophets. So she was like, "I'm going to kill you just like you killed my prophets." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left a servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the brush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So here, he was so exhausted, he didn't know what to do, and what God did for him was took care of his physical needs. He specifically said that this journey is too much for you, and told him to go and eat and drink, and then he fell asleep again. So he was first focused on his physical needs, his sleep, his food, his water, getting his body rested and able to take on the journey head on instead of trying to do it with an empty cup for his physical needs. He hadn't quite reached, you know, those emotional needs or spiritual needs yet, but God knew that he needed those physical needs. And I promise you that every single time that I am exhausted and I'm to the point where I just want to shout and strangle somebody because they're not listening to me and I don't know what to do, it's 90% of the time because I have not slept enough or I have not been drinking enough water. And as soon as those needs are met the next day, I can tackle the day as if nothing happened yesterday, right? And it's so important that God is saying you need to care for yourself. You need to meet those physical needs in order for you to be able to continue your journey, no matter what that journey is. So it's so cool to see that he shows I'm drawing a blank on the word I'm looking for, but he shows this passion, this compassion for Elijah that he also shows to us. And just seeing it here, it really warms my heart knowing that I'm not alone in this journey and that even the great prophet Elijah has went through this. Okay, so then to continue, chapter 19, verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." So I want to stop here because God is meeting his emotional needs right here. He knew that he needed to vent. He knew that Elijah was struggling with all this inside of him and that he needed to get it out so that he could not be focusing on the inward, but what actually was going on and what he was seeing. I mean, if he would have had a sound mind, he would have known that when he said that he is the only one left, the only prophet left for the Lord, that then God was going to keep him alive because it was so important for him to be out there, right? Doing the good deeds of the Lord, glorifying him and bringing more people to him. But he was so exhausted and so unsure of what to do because how he thought that he was failing like the people before him and that he wasn't able to do the things that God wanted him to do and that he wouldn't be able to do it either. So God was like, okay, let's just feud, get this out. And that's what the first one was. The second one, when he asked, what are you doing here, Elijah, was him meeting his spiritual needs. Because the first time he was talking to the angel of the Lord, and the second time he realized that he really needed to actually see or be in the presence of God to meet those spiritual needs that he was really needing because he was alone and he didn't have that other person. And so when he went out there and the fire came and the wind came and the earthquakes came, he didn't see God in all that big, miraculous, huge things that normally was the way that God came and talked to people, was in these big miraculous gestures. But instead he came in a whisper because he needed Elijah to realize that it doesn't always happen in the big things. It's the little things that need to happen too. And so throughout this story, God is meeting his physical needs, his emotional needs, his spiritual needs. And then, which I'm not going to read the rest of it, but he goes and gives him a job to do. He gives him this job to continue doing the things that God needs him to do. But it gets Elijah out of his head. And it makes him feel like he is making a difference again, like he can do. It's renewed his belief. It's renewed his hope that things could be different, that he could make a difference, that, you know, he can actually do things. Just like I said, when I go to sleep the next day, I can wake up and just, you know, feel like I can get 1,000 things done, right? Because I've got this renewed energy, this renewed strength. And after God has met all of his needs that were so depleted and so like not even there, he filled his cup back up and was able to go out with a bang and, you know, just really do the things that he needed to do because he had the energy again. He knew how to move forward. And that's exactly what we need to have to be able to get through those days. And you think that I'm talking about this, you know, just for your parenting needs or just for being in a good mood so that you can be like God, but this aspect goes into every piece of who you are. If your needs, your fundamental needs are not met, then when you go out into the world or when you sit down to do things, you don't have a sound mind. you're not able to make sound decisions. And this is 100% with your money as well. If you are exhausted, if you are mentally and physically tired, then you are not able to sit down and try to budget. You are not able to go out and make purchases that actually are going to help you stick to the budget, because you're not going to care. You're going to be tired. You're just going to do whatever. And there's going to be no little, I don't know, it's not necessarily conscious, but there's not going to be that little voice, which I guess is your conscious, on your shoulder telling you that, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. It's going to be gone because you're so exhausted. You don't care. So when you have your needs met, you're able to make sound decisions with your money. When you have your needs met, you're able to work with your money and not make it feel like a burden. It's not just another thing that you're adding to a long list of to-dos, and it doesn't just add to the overwhelm, because that's exactly what we're trying to prevent. When you sit down to money anyways, it's sometimes, most of the times, stressful. And if you sit down already exhausted, already unable to really focus on what it is that you're trying to do, unable to make a sound decision, then it's just going to add to your overwhelm. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this, but I need to sit down and do it. So you just do it and it doesn't come out very well. So when you try to stick to that budget that you made, or you try to actually stick to your boundaries that maybe you've created, it doesn't work, because the boundaries and the budget that you created are not necessarily a priority, are not like, it doesn't actually, what's the word that I want? It doesn't actually get you to the point that you actually want. It doesn't achieve your goal. There it is. And so we want to prevent that. And by having your needs met, and by feeling like you can actually sit down and do this, you will be able to create a sound budget. You'll be able to stick to your budget. You'll be able to do everything that you are trying to do with your money. And you won't feel so discouraged. Like, when you sit down to create a budget with a sound mind, with all your needs met, you sit down and you see a problem and you're like, okay, there's a little problem. Let's do some problem solving and get this fixed. Well, when you're exhausted and you feel so discouraged, the only thing you think of is, I don't have enough money. And that's the only solution you can come up with. You can't get, you know, I don't know why I'm struggling with my words today, but I am. But you can't, like, actually experiment or come up with ideas. Be creative. There we go. You can't be creative when you don't have a mind that allows that to happen. When you are so depleted, so exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you cannot actually think positively, period. I feel like our natural response is negative thinking. And if we are so exhausted that we cannot twist what our minds automatically go to and think positively, we think negatively. And then, like I said, the only thought you have is the discouraging thought that you don't have enough money, and that is the only way that you can solve your problem. You won't be able to see through that haze. That's all you will see. So I want you right now to start penciling your needs into your calendar. I want you to prioritize your sleep. How many hours do you need? When do you need to wake up? When do you need to go to sleep? I want you to prioritize your food and drinking water, because those are some of the biggest things. If I cannot stress enough, as long as you worry about your sleep and the amount of water that you put in your body, then you will at least be getting halfway there. But then from those two things, I want you to start looking at your spiritual needs. Like, look for God in everything that you do and everything around you. Stop giving the credit to luck and coincidence, because it's not luck and coincidence. It's God working in your life. So worry about the things that physically your body needs, the things that you emotionally need, the things that you spiritually need, and just put them in your calendar. Make alarms on your phone if you need to. Make reminders in your phone and get them met so that you are not pouring from an empty cup, but a full cup. And everything in your life will change. You will see a humongous difference in the way that you look at life. I know I have. As soon as I started worrying about that, I personally did not experience this really until my second daughter came, and I just got so exhausted because my first daughter, she slept like at 3 months pretty much through the night. My second, I still cannot get her to go through, like, sleep through the night. I was so happy. Last night, she slept through the night. I was so happy. So I'm like, okay, let's get it going. But before I started, like, figuring out what's going on and, like, trying to tweak what I was doing, I had gotten so exhausted and so desperate that I could not function. I was not a good person to be around. I was not happy. I could not do anything, like cleaning the house. I couldn't even think. I couldn't come up with a schedule to actually work with the things that I needed to get done. And once I figured out how to do that, I figured out how many hours of sleep that I needed, interrupted hours of sleep, I should add, I was able to start functioning and doing things so much better, and actually being a better mom to my daughters, a better wife to my husband, a better person, all around. And so that is why I am like hitting this super hard, because I think that is super important to have your fundamental needs met. And if you struggle with it, I will definitely help you figure out a schedule that will get you to where you want to be, the kind of person you want to be, instead of an exhausted, overwhelmed mom. So please, please reach out to me if you need help there. Okay. So I pray that this episode has really blessed you. I pray that you've gotten a lot from it. If you have any questions, please reach out to me. I would love to help you through this situation, because I know that I have struggled through it. I know many people have struggled through it, and that you are not alone. I mean, if you want to go and read this passage, it is chapter 19. I believe if you just read the whole chapter, it would be good, but it's specifically what I read was verses 1 through 18. And it just really shows how big our needs are, how big our fundamental needs are to our whole being as a person, our energy, our mood, and everything. And mama, before I hop off, I want to ask you, do you think that the only way to make it as a one-income family is by starting a side hustle or bringing in some sort of supplemental income? The world would agree with you, saying that it is impossible to live on one income. I mean, unless you're rich, right? I remember thinking I would never be able to become a stay-at-home mama. We had too much debt, and my husband's job alone couldn't cover it all. Or so I thought. We've also gone through a few, more than I'd like to admit, job changes that, again, gave me concern as to if I would have to go back to work or not. But again, I was wrong. In each of those situations, God has been with us, teaching me and guiding me along the way, helping me tweak the budget to reach all of our needs and a few of our wants, helping me learn to embrace a more simple and frugal lifestyle that allows us to live abundantly on less, bringing not just me, but my entire family joy and peace, regardless of the amount of money that was in our bank account at the time. And I know that if this is possible for me, it is 100% possible for you as well. If you don't believe me, please go and grab a free 30-minute clarity call and let me show you how this can be possible for you and your family. So go to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell and book that free call right now. Again, that's calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, ENELL. Again, Mama, I pray that this episode has blessed you, and if you need help, please reach out to me, even if it is just to ask a question. And I will see you all next week, and I pray that you have a great week. Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies, so I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.